This episode of Legion of News is made possible by our friends at Squires Electric, a brand new business partner. Squires Electric is a full-service electrical contractor for all of your residential and commercial needs. You can contact them at 503-252-1609, or for more information, go to squireselectric.com.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
From high above the milkpacking district in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon, this, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
A legendary trailblazer is dead. Brazil elects its first female president, and there's a kidnapper on the loose in Aloha.
Have no doubt, my friends, that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, steel yourselves, for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Monday, November 1st, 2010. Legendary Portland Trailblazers forward Maurice Lucas passed away Sunday at the age of 58 after a long battle with cancer. Lucas, who in later years was an assistant coach with the Blazers, died at his home in Portland, the team said. Lucas was a central figure on the Trailblazers' 1976-77 NBA championship team and averaged 15.6 points, 8.7 rebounds, 2.5 assists, and 0.72 blocked shots over five seasons in Portland.
He's blazing a trail to heaven now, Don.
He is. He's on the Rainbow Bridge to the free throw
not
line.
Rainbow. He's not a porcupine. He's not on the Rainbow Bridge. Oh. Rainbow Bridge is animals only.
People can't be on the Rainbow Bridge?
No. No, there's a strict... There's a... No, there's
is
a...
Because big animals can be on it, like rhinos, can't they? So it's not like a weight restriction.
No, it's a whole Brown versus the Board thing. I'm sure it'll be resolved at some point in the future. But right now, Rainbow Bridge, animals only, and especially.
Makes me sad. That makes me sad. The guy being dead, but knowing that I won't be able to walk on the Rainbow Bridge now I'm bummed. During Portland's 1976-77 NBA championship season, Lucas led the team in scoring, field goals made, free throws made, offensive rebounds, and minutes. In the 1977 playoffs, Lucas led the team in scoring in 8 of the 19 games and in rebounding twice. Trailblazers owner Paul Allen said in a release, "Portland and the NBA lost one of their greats today. Maurice Lucas was an amazing man, and I count myself lucky to have known him. We all, players, coaches, the owner, and the fans, were made better by having Maurice a part of our team, whether playing on the championship team or, more recently, as an assistant coach."
Also, I started Microsoft, and I'm richer than God. Here's the thing about the Trailblazers. Because I'm not like a huge sports fan or whatever, but I recognize the significance of being on... Was it 77? Was that the championship team? I mean, and that's a big deal here. And, people who were associated with that era of the team have a certain sort of patina of glory around them. And here's the best ever example of that. So I won't give his name, but when I worked at a radio station early on in my Portland career, and there was a guy who was in the building, and I think he's actually still in radio sales, but he was an AE, he was a sales guy at the radio station, and he had played on that team, on the 77 championship team. And there's that whole inner office thing where
Like when your desk phone rings and it's somebody from within the same building, it actually just says their name. Like it says, you know, Ted is calling from the accounts department. This guy, you know, and it has his first name or it has their first name or the, you know, the, whatever floor of the building they're calling from. This guy, when he called you, it just said 1977. That was it. Didn't have his name, his phone, didn't have whatever area of the building, whatever department he was ringing you from. It was like 1977 was calling, which is sort of sad, but sort of awesome at the same time.
It is. But at the same time, yeah, it is a little sad because there is that sort of my life peaked in that one year kind of a thing.
See, and you like to see, you think that. That's the thing you tell yourself. You go, well, it's kind of, you know, melancholy, actually. It looks like his life peaked. And I thought that was the case until I was out in public with him one time. And it was like, I just expected him to be carried down the street on the backs of gypsies and elephants and have palm fronds waved at him. I mean, this is 20 years after the fact. And he would just be, you know, he'd be walking around and people would just come up and go, are you? And he'd go, yes, I am. And they would just say, you are awesome. Would you like my wife for the evening? I mean, it was, so really never diminished the power of the championship ring, Don.
Brazilians have elected Dilma Rousseff as their next president, according to the BBC. Rousseff, who will be the country's first female leader, inherited the mantle of her popular predecessor and mentor, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva. Election officials announced that Rousseff garnered 56% of the vote, while her rival José Serra of the Social Democrats had captured just 44%. The election battle went to a runoff after Rousseff failed to secure a majority in the first round of voting in October. Worker Party supporters flooded the streets across the country to celebrate, while Rousseff delivered a victory speech is the word I was looking for, in which she promised to focus on the plight of Brazil's poor. I reiterate my fundamental promise, the eradication of poverty, she said. We must not rest while there are Brazilians going hungry. She also said, I would like parents who have daughters to look straight in their eyes and tell them, yes, a woman can. That must be nice for them in Brazil, that a woman can become president.
One step at a time, Dom. Progress doesn't come overnight.
Apparently in other countries, women, ladies get to be in charge of things sometimes.
Oh, come on. You've got the right to vote. What else could you possibly want? The way I look at it is you've got the right to vote. Everything else is up to you. I mean, really, that's it. It's like you've got the right to vote. You're the majority of the country. Everything else is your problem.
I know. It really is our own fault at this point.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to have sympathy, but it's just, that's a window that just won't load. You are listening to Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm, and there's no better way to start the week, my amigos, my chums, my companions. It is November 1st, 2010. Coming up later on this hour, we have science news, science on the march, also entertainment news. At 1 o'clock, the Rick Emerson radio program comes up at rickemerson.com. If you want to get this program on your mobile device, you can do that. It's mobile.cascadia.fm. Mobile.cascadia.fm. You can also get it as a direct MP3 download here at cascadia.fm or at legionofnews.com. And it's available via iTunes later on in the afternoon as well. This is Don Taylor.
Could I listen to it on my iPhone?
If only you had an iPhone. Oh, wait. Can I just tell you, this is the only thing I'm going to say about it because I don't want to, we'll get ourselves totally off track. I didn't do this, but I very nearly sent, and then I just disregarded it as being way too, I don't know. I disregarded this as being almost like a caricature of what somebody would send on Twitter. But I almost sent to Twitter this morning, I hope Dawn doesn't spend all day talking about her brand new shiny iPhone. I hate those people. And then with a snarky hashtag at the end. That's just, you know, I heart irony.
Or you do like the emoticon with like the two eyes and then the slash to make the mouth going sideways.
I do that sometimes. By the way, let's have no illusions about that. I don't ever make the smiley face. I don't make the frowny face. But I will sometimes do the sideways face.
The smirky face or whatever that is.
Now, see, to me, that's not smirky. That's just sort of a...
It's an irony kind of a face, like, wah, wah, or something.
Perhaps to the kids. To the people.
Hmm.
Not to the people at large. To me, it's like a vexed face.
Oh, I see.
To me, it looks like, you know, it's like things have just, like my day's gone all... You know, it's gone all. I was gonna make up a Yiddish word.
It's all kerfunkel.
I was just gonna say it's gone all schlamouged, but that doesn't mean anything. But I was just gonna say it's one of those days where things are a little bit. You're being thwarted.
That's
what
that. Oh, okay.
Now that maybe isn't what that face means to like the people. But
see, I use it as kind of a face.
Like an arched eyebrow. Mm. Sort of a think about that one.
Yeah. President Barack Obama has kissed his share of babies on the campaign trail, but on Halloween night, Mr. Obama and his wife were giving kids treats outside the White House. Children lined up in costumes as the first couple... Did they really... Now, did they have to go through, like, metal detectors?
A pat down and a cavity search.
Children lined up in costumes as the first couple passed out M&Ms, a sweet dough butter cookie, and dried fruit. The trick-or-treaters were aged 6 to 14 from various schools in Washington.
What is it? We have sound?
This is Obama 1.
All right. The best part about this is I think you can hear Obama way, way, way in the background. If you turn the volume all the way up, and then if you run some sort of, some sort of CSI-style multi-pass audio filter, I think you can hear Obama muttering something. Hold on.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, that's going to be our generic sort of there's a kerfuffle happening in the background somewhere. So, see, now I can bring the Yiddish. Not earlier, though.
Obama stopped off at the Valois or Valois or something of that nature cafeteria in his hometown of Chicago Sunday morning, along with Governor Pat Quinn and U.S. Senate candidate Alexei Giannoulias, who face a tough midterm election. The president urged restaurant workers to vote after he placed his order.
These are numbered a little weirdly today.
This is 1B.
Good to see you.
Thank you for looking after us.
That's right.
Okay.
You got it, Abby.
Barbara, did you vote? Right. Did you vote?
I voted for all of y'all.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right.
So the stuff, where am I dinner? Never gonna get it.
We're going to bring you to the table, too.
No, we got to get this takeout.
Oh, you got to get it to go?
Because I got to fly to Cleveland.
Did Obama pocket dial like a news organization? Is that what that is? Did he ass dial us by mistake or something? And I.
Good to see you.
Thank you for looking at us.
I think Barack Obama's calling. Mr. Obama? Hello? Can you hear me? Hello? Oh, no, he ass dialed us again.
So the stuff, where my dinner?
This is, okay, by the way, just anybody who's listening right now.
Did he say, where my dinner?
I
swear to God.
It's possible. All I heard is a woman note to him that, in case there was any doubt about this, about the outcome, she did, in fact, vote for all y'all.
Yeah.
All right.
I swear to God, he said, where my dinner? Here he is placing his order.
Just FYI, though, in case anybody's listening right now and you hear this in the future, you can say that you were around. This is going to become one of those recurring bits where Obama ass dials us. Just like FYI. That's going to be one of those kooky radio things that we do every and again. Hey, who's on the phone?
Good to see you.
Thank you for looking at us.
It's Obama ass dialing us again.
Robert, did you vote? Did you vote?
I voted for all of y'all.
Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
All right.
So the stuff, where my dinner? I'm gonna get
it. We're gonna bring you to the table.
Where my dinner?
He said, where my dinner?
I gotta fly to Cleveland.
Wow. He actually now that was a step even beyond the whole Gunna and folks thing. He actually took on her accent.
Well, you know who else does that is Hillary Clinton, and I don't think, and sadly, I think we have lost the soundbite. I don't think I actually have it anymore. There was this fantastic soundbite we had from the 2008 election when Hillary Clinton was like in South Carolina or something, and it would be, I mean, I would sort of reenact Hillary's accent for you right now, except it would sound impossibly broad and exaggerated. Even though it was in actuality so exaggerated as to almost defy belief. I mean, it was like she was just suddenly in a Tennessee Williams play or something. I'll see if I can dig it up. But you put Hillary Clinton, she's sort of this, she's like that mimic octopus thing. You know, where you put her next to something and she immediately just, you put her next to a squid, she looks like a squid. Put her next to a potted plant, she becomes a potted plant. And apparently Obama does the same thing with all y'all. Here's Don Taylor.
Several streets that have been closed on September 6 for Portland streetcar construction will reopen beginning today at noon.
Hurrah!
The Portland Bureau of Transportation said Northwest Lovejoy and Northwest Northrop Streets and Northwest 10th and Northwest 11th Avenues will all reopen at noon. So that means they should be open right now if you want to go driving.
And really, that means that they've opened streets where it's always so congested anyway and there's no parking to be had regardless, so it doesn't really matter because it's not like you can do any actual traveling through their parking or getting anywhere.
Also, the Couplet on Northwest Lovejoy and Northrop Streets.
The Couplet?
Yes.
Is that a restaurant?
It's a poem style. Isn't a couplet a
type
of poetry?
Yeah, well, a couplet is two lines of a stanza.
Yeah. Well, anyway, there's apparently one at Northwest Lovejoy in Northrop.
There's a poem?
And it will be in permanent operation. Apparently so. There will be a poem. Northwest Lovejoy will be one way eastbound from 13th Avenue to 10th Avenue. Northwest Northrop Street will be one way westbound from 10th to 16th.
I hope it's Howell.
The traveling public is advised that this is a significant change to the flow of traffic into and through the Pearl District, so caution is advised.
A couplet? Okay. All right. But it's an operation, so let's have no illusions about that. The poem that is apparently...
Is that like the turnaround for the...
That's a roundabout.
The thing?
I don't know what a roundabout is. I was just...
Yeah, I don't know what they mean.
You want to take a left at Moloch the Destroyer, and then a right at I Saw the Best Minds of My Generation. Okay.
The iambic pentameter at the corner of 23rd and Cooch will be... Where am I? I don't know. I don't know what we're talking about here. Ah, here we go.
Apparently you're inside the head of Admiral Stockdale. Come on, give me credit for that. I didn't even know you were going to do that, and I referenced that was just sitting around in my brain, and I found it, and I used it in like half a second.
That was pretty awesome.
Where am I? You're in the head of Admiral Stockdale. Bam.
Police were searching for a man they said assaulted and kidnapped his girlfriend before forcing her to drive him from Eugene to Alloa on Friday night. Saturday morning, the victim ran into Postal Annex on Farmington Road in Alloa and told employees she had escaped after spending the night in a car with the suspect. She then called 911 and reported that her boyfriend had repeatedly assaulted her before kidnapping her. Washington County deputies are looking for 27-year-old Raymond Hetman from Eugene, who was released from prison months ago for theft and attempting to elude police. He was on parole and had a felony warrant for an unrelated charge. He's a white male, 6'3" tall, between 200 and 215 pounds. He was last seen wearing wire-rimmed glasses, a t-shirt, and blue jeans. He has short blonde hair. Deputy said Hetman could be on foot in the Alloa area, or he could be using public transportation. They ask anybody who sees him call 911 and report him immediately.
Is he a handsome man?
He's actually not a bad-looking guy.
Oh, this is the sort of guy, you know what he looks like? He looks like if, a little bit of a younger, non-famous Viggo Mortensen, kinda.
Kind of.
You know,
yeah,
like you might pick, you know what, we can't really talk about the show, we'll get sidetracked, but, you know, I'm going to make a note to myself about something.
Okay.
Hold on.
Okay.
You should bring this story back next hour.
I will.
So that there's a...
I will put it in the stack over
here.
I'm going
to make an observation about something. You are listening to Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. The Rick Emerson Show comes up today at 1 o'clock. Coming up on today's program, we'll talk to Mr. Aaron Duran. He will have the Week in Geek for us to talk about the whole fistful of things. Last night there was Dexter, there was Walking Dead, there was... Eastbound and Down, and we've also got today's top five. We've got the top five zombie songs.
Ooh.
That's coming up today. Top five zombie songs.
We also have a clown watch and a taser watch.
Clown watch, taser watch. Awesome. Here is Don Taylor.
Elsewhere in Alloa, a man was arrested Saturday after reportedly shooting his wife in the shoulder. Police were dispatched about 9:14 a.m. to Southwest Strickland Drive after Anthony Taylor called 911 to report that he had shot his wife in the shoulder. When deputies arrived, Taylor was uncooperative, said Sheriff's Office spokesman Sergeant David Thompson. And if you want to know how uncooperative he was, I would suggest you go to our visual aids at rickemerson.com/pictures for today, November 1st, and you will see a picture of the aftermath of Anthony Taylor being uncooperative with the police.
Is this a thing that worked out poorly for him? And by poorly, I mean bruisily?
A little bruisily, yes.
Awesome. All right.
He had to be detained before deputies and medics could enter the home. The victim was taken to OHSU and treated for a non-life-threatening gunshot to the shoulder. He's accused of third-degree assault and recklessly endangering another person.
All right, so, oh, wow.
Yes.
Boy, here's the thing. They beat him so hard that his head is misshapen, and it doesn't look like it was just like he's always been that way. That's just that he's got like that, he's got enough swelling going on that he's starting to turn into Chunk from the Goonies.
He's got the kind of black eye that you see in like TV shows and in movies.
Yeah.
And you find yourself wondering like how much latex and goo they had to put on the actor.
It's like he's
to make it look like that.
Like he's wearing a prosthetic of some kind.
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah, and the best part is how you've captioned it with just the, when deputies arrived, Taylor was uncooperative. And so they uncooperated right back.
Yeah.
Damn, man. Okay. Yeah, when the guy with the stick tells you to do something, you say yes, because the carrots aren't coming out, ever.
Well, particularly since he was the one who called the police.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing. It's a kind of a zero-sum game there.
Actually, I'll bet you what happened is he shot the wife in the shoulder, called 911 to get an ambulance, And it didn't occur to him that by saying, I shot someone, that the police would arrive too.
That they would, and that they would put two and two together.
Yeah.
Yes. All right.
Cops? I didn't ask for any cops.
What are you talking about? All right.
All right. Former President Bill Clinton helped stir up support for Rhode Island gubernatorial candidate Frank Caprio. Clinton told the crowd, many voters across the country aren't listening to the facts.
The thing that has bothered me about this election all over America is not that voters are angry. I'm fine with that. They got a lot to be mad about. The thing that's bothered me is this is the most fact-free election I have been involved in my life.
He says this year's election is the most fact-free election he's ever been involved in.
I've been up helping people. I don't give a rip who they were for before anything else if I think they're good for the country. And I think that there has been, in this whole election, too much majoring in the minors instead of majoring in the majors.
What does that mean?
I don't know, but he can. I have to tell you this. He sounds like he's about 1,000 years old now, but he can still sell it. You know, I hear him and I go, well, he's really onto something there. I wish we could. You know, it doesn't matter what Bill Clinton is saying. It doesn't matter what words are coming, if it even makes any sense.
I've been up helping people. I don't give a rip who they were for before anything else if I think they're good for the country. And I think that there has been, in this whole election, too much majoring in the minors instead of majoring in the majors.
As soon as he says that, my first thought is like, I wish we could vote him back in. I mean, that's the sort of weird Jedi thing that he's still got over the rest of us. That's my only thought, is that I wish that he could once again be my president.
And he says it with such conviction that you actually, for a moment, think it must make sense.
Yeah.
That it must be you.
Now, you know, it's that's the whole clipboard and a confident wave thing. You just wave in the right way and everybody goes, well, he knows what he's doing.
He also told the crowd, many voters are being distracted by minor political issues.
You got the fourth highest unemployment rate in the country. Why are we being distracted by stories that don't have anything to do with your lives, your children's future, and how you're going to live? That's what I want to talk to you about.
He says with a tinge of bitterness. You're listening to Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. Coming up later on, we have entertainment news. Also in the Rick Emerson radio program coming up later on today, we have Clown Watch, Taser Watch, Week in Geek, Top 5 Zombie Songs, and so forth. Legion of News brought to you by Castalia Language Center. You can find out more about them by going to PortlandSpanish.com. That is PortlandSpanish.com. Castalia Language Center is based in downtown Portland. They are a Spanish language facility, institute, place of learning for you who wish to speak Spanish as a second or third language, not your primary language anyway. If you've got some Spanish language education in your background, maybe you learned a little bit, but it kind of faded away, or you just you feel like you never really grasped it, even though you sat there in class for 3 years while you were in high school, or whether you have some Spanish knowledge, but you just sound like a guy who just emerged from 3 years of high school Spanish. You got the whole stilted wooden delivery going on. You want to do that. If you want to be able to speak it smoothly, colloquially, casually, conversationally, here's what you do. You go to PortlandSpanish.com and you find a class that fits with your schedule, which is easy to do. They got classes all different days, all different times, and all different levels of acumen. So if you've taken some Spanish in the past, or whether you were just looking to brush up to buff your already reproachable Spanish skills, you can do that at PortlandSpanish.com. That is PortlandSpanish.com. That is the website for Castalia Language Center, a proud sponsor of Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. This is Don Taylor.
The Associated Press reports that the world's most populous country is undertaking its first door-to-door census ever.
Wait, Japan?
China,
damn.
Over the course of the next 10 days, workers in China will try to count each of the country's roughly 1 billion people in the city where they actually live, not in the city where they're registered. For this task, China has employed a census force that outnumbers the population of some small countries. 6 million census workers will be knocking on doors for the next week and a half. The census is expected to measure for the first time the actual size of China's cities and the extent of the population shift from rural to urban areas.
Does it surprise you that China doesn't already know that somehow? They seem like a state that keeps a pretty good tab on its citizens.
But that's the thing, though, is that people are required to register where they live.
Right.
But apparently they also then move. And there have been a lot of people moving into the cities out of the rural areas, but not changing the registration.
I would think that in China, you'd make sure to do all the required paperwork for the government.
Well,
that's a thing. It seems like the penalties for that are probably draconian.
The census workers expect to encounter some difficulties in counting privacy-conscious residents and families who have more children than they're supposed to.
Yeah, but you can just shoot those people, right? Isn't that the thing?
Well, they have prisons for that in China.
This guy's giving me guff. What should I do?
Work camps.
Yeah, I don't know.
Nike factories.
Yeah.
After successfully orchestrating a tidal wave of anti-democratic advertising during the midterm campaigns, outside groups are looking to extend their success beyond the November 2nd elections, reports the New York Times. As a result, Democrats are being forced to reconsider President Obama's re-election strategy. Two conservative groups in particular, American Crossroads and Crossroads GPS, are gearing up to pummel Democrats post-midterms when the issues of immigration and the Bush tax cuts come to
a head. Is that really their avowed strategy, is just to pummel the Democrats?
So I believe bashing. There's bashing involved and stomping.
Rogering.
Last week, the chairman of American Crossroads informed major donors that they hoped to follow up the success of this election's $50 million spending spree by setting their sights on the presidential election. It's a bigger prize in 2012, and that's changing the White House, said Chairman Robert Duncan. We've planted the flag for permanence, and we believe that we will play a major role for 2012.
We planted the flag of... Is that like you've got to climb the mountain of war to walk the road of peace?
Yes, I believe it is.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Democrats are pondering whether they will maintain their lofty objections to outside money or whether they'll fight fire with fire through anonymous fundraising. Some Democrats advocate a hard-nosed approach. Governor Edward Rendell of Pennsylvania said, if this is what the playing field is going to look like, then we need to play to win.
You're just going to be meat in the room. That's the thing.
A close advisor and speechwriter to President John F. Kennedy has died. While Theodore C. Sorensen repeatedly refused to verify it, he was often given credit for JFK's famous line from his 1961 inaugural address.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Here's the irritating thing, and I understand why I was just watching actually a West Wing rerun about this the other day where Sam, as played by Rob Lowe, was talking to the character of Will Bailey, as played by Josh Molina, who they were both speechwriters, and they were talking about the sort of ghostwriter code of ethics that you don't give interviews talking about how you wrote something that, you know, that somebody else got credit for. Everybody knows the president has speechwriters, but people don't really go out and talk about how they created something. You know, it's just sort of some sort of honor among speechwriters thing. But you know, the thing that sucks about that, though, is because these guys all basically take like a vow of silence when they write for the president, you never get to hear the story of like where he was when he came up with that, because it's one of the most famous lines in all of politics. And I just want to know where he was. That's the sort of thing that fascinates me. Was he in the shower? Was he sitting around? Was he like, you know, in a room with some other guys and they were like tossing ideas back and forth? Because at one moment they didn't have that line and the next moment they had the line. And then it went on to become one of the most famous things ever said behind a microphone in America. So I wish I knew the story behind it, but of course, we're never going to know.
No. Sorensen, was always credited as being the author of most of Kennedy's really good stuff, but he always said that the work was a collaboration.
Oh, I'm sorry. Were you leading to a soundbite there, or was that actually you just saying that?
That was just me saying that. Thank you very much.
Wow, couldn't tell.
Yeah, he was more than a speechwriter, actually. According to the Boston Globe, he was a special counsel to the president. He guided Kennedy through the Cuban Missile Crisis and the battles over civil rights. He arrived in Washington in 1953 at the age of 24 from Lincoln, Nebraska, and became assistant to Kennedy when he was a U.S. senator. And their friendship lasted up until Kennedy's assassination 11 years later. Political analyst Ed Rollins says Sorensen continued his role in politics after JFK's assassination.
The hardest speech was he wrote Lyndon Johnson's speech to Congress when he memorialized Kennedy. So you can imagine a man who was like his brother, who'd been his older brother. He basically had to write that speech for a president that they didn't all particularly like.
Rollins says Sorensen was very loyal to JFK, having worked with him since Kennedy's days in the Senate.
Unlike a lot of speechwriters today who lay claim for everything, he never laid claim to everything. People knew he was the principal writer, one of the great thinkers, but he was the ultimate staff man. He served his president well, and basically over the years has been very, very quiet about what he did and didn't do.
And then there's what's-his-name who supposedly wrote, Profiles in Courage or whatever. And Kennedy went... Didn't he win something like a Pulitzer or a Nobel or some damn thing for that? And it was and now it's escaping me. I knew it until just moments ago. It's one of those things that I knew until I opened my mouth to repeat it. About whoever it was that allegedly wrote Profiles in Courage. It must be good to be a Kennedy, you know? You can just sort of, you know, sit around and just, you know, you have like whatever it is, you have people for it. I mean, even things that you don't even really need people for. You have people to do. So, all right.
Well, Sorensen went on to be an advisor to Lyndon Johnson and to Robert Kennedy. But he said he was always scarred by the deaths of the Kennedy brothers. He later wrote, I do not know whether I have ever fully recovered from John F. Kennedy's death. Time passed, love and laughter helped, but the deep sadness of that time remained, only to be reinforced 5 years later by the murder of his brother Robert. Those two senseless tragedies robbed me of my future. Minnesota Vikings quarterback Brett Favre was taken off the football field on a cart in the fourth quarter Sunday after getting a brutal blow to the chin. Favre was booed by a few as he passed by the stands. Combined with his ankle injury and...
Who boos a guy who's bleeding from the face?
I don't know. People who aren't fans of penis photography, maybe? I have no idea.
Oh, everyone is a fan of penis photography, Don. Let's not traffic in lies.
Combined with... These are sports fans. They're asses.
I'm just saying. It's like, hey, that guy got injured. He might lose the bottom half of his chin. Let's boo him.
He's for the opposite team, though, so boo!
Jesus.
Combined with his ankle injury and elbow tendonitis, even he wonders at times why he's still out there.
Going in the tunnel on the cart, I thought to myself for a brief second, what in the world am I doing? But there's nothing like competing, but then again, there's nothing worse than losing.
You know, he's also become Admiral Stockdale. You've tagged him, and it's gone from you to him. Well, he is, I mean, he's 41, which is pretty, I mean, that's pretty impressive. There's not a lot of 41-year-old quarterbacks out there.
Yeah, I know. You hurt yourself just, like, going down the stairs to your basement.
Seriously, I can't even get up.
And you're younger than this guy.
I can't get up and walk across the room for a pen without maiming myself in some way, so, yeah.
Let's do a little science news.
Here's your Science on the March for Monday, November 1st, 2010, right here at Legion of News.
NASA has cleared Space Shuttle Discovery for its final flight. Mission managers gathered at Kennedy Space Center on Monday morning for the traditional flight review. They voted unanimously to press forward a Wednesday afternoon liftoff. There's still a certain amount of disbelief that it's really her final launch, Director Mike.
It's whose final launch?
The Space Shuttle Discovery.
Okay, and then I guess this isn't true then because there's another one. But I was going to say, I thought this happened years ago. Because, you know, it's like every couple of years they keep saying, we're about to wrap up the space program, and then it has never actually happened. So is this the final, this is it? We're done?
For Discovery, yes.
But not for the space shuttle program?
No.
Okay.
Oh, heavens no.
Because that was the thing they kept saying, that they were just going to scrap the space shuttle program because, like, it wasn't really doing anything.
People love the space flight stuff. Yeah. And plus, come on, remember? They're trying to colonize Mars.
We talked
about that last week.
You don't have to sell me. It's fine by me. I'm just saying it was one of those things where you got the feeling they were just mothballing everything. I guess that was maybe 5 or 6 years ago where it was like there was just no money because everything was going to Iraq. So, all right.
For its grand finale, Discovery and a crew of six will head to the International Space Station with a load of equipment, including a humanoid robot. It will be the 39th flight for Discovery over 26 years. A museum will be its final destination. The Smithsonian Institute gets first pick. As of Monday, the forecast called for a 70% chance of favorable weather for the 3:52 p.m. launch, but Shuttle Weather Officer Kathy Winters cautioned that storms were expected Thursday, so Wednesday's outlook could worsen if the bad weather arrives sooner than anticipated.
You know, if I was an astronaut and I was going up into space, it would unnerve me if I was traveling in a vehicle that was actually thwarted by, like, clouds,
well,
you know, or wind.
You want to make sure that there's nothing that could possibly cause you to explode or crash.
I don't think rain does that.
And
I mean,
also to make sure it goes in the right direction. And there's all of those complicated...
They have a steering wheel, I think, and rockets.
There's all those complicated physics about, like, you know, lift and propulsion and things.
I'm just saying, cars can work in the rain, airplanes can work in the rain. A thing that can go into space and is effectively both a car and an airplane of different kinds, because it really lands on the runway and wheels along like a car, it flies like an airplane. It seems like just the fact that, you know, there's a stiff breeze happening in the morning ought not to thwart it. I'm just saying. I'm just making the observation.
On the other hand, though, when you have like $1 billion on the line,
that's true.
You don't want to take any risks.
That's a measure twice, cut once kind of a thing. Yeah. You're right.
Sightings abound of a four-legged, hairless, fanged monster that kills and sucks blood and sometimes milk from livestock in the United States and Latin America.
Andy Dick.
Its name... Chupacabra.
Oh, not Andy Dick.
No.
Okay.
Unless he's a chupacabra.
If I'd waited, I would have had a better moment for the joke there. If I'd waited until you said its name, and then I would have said Andy Dick, and it would have been funnier.
The name Chupacabra literally means goat sucker. There is, in fact, a real monster behind the sightings, but it has 8 legs, measures at most a 0.5 millimeter long.
Andy Dick.
And burrows into the skin rather than sucking blood. Its name, Sarcoptes scabiei, the mite that causes scabies in humans, and coyotes. The chupacabras themselves are actually coyotes with severe infections by these mites called sarcoptic mange, according to Barry O'Connor, an evolutionary biologist at the University of Michigan. Infections in humans are usually mild, causing patches of itchy skin. Over our long evolutionary history with the mite, we have gained the ability to fight off the infections. Domesticated dogs and other animals have less experience with the mite than we do, and for them, sarcoptic mange infections can be severe. But the prospects are much worse for their wild relatives, who have no experience with the disease at all, and it often kills them.
So they're saying that the chupacabra is actually, it's a coyote whose hair has fallen out and has gone all wacky.
Yeah, it's all, its skin is all infected and it's lost all its hair.
Okay, well that actually, see, that actually makes sense.
Reports of chupacabras began in Puerto Rico in 1995 when the creature was said to stand on two legs and have spines on its back. Sightings spread and the reports of the creature being spotted elsewhere, particularly Mexico, where it was described as a four-legged animal but still hairless and ugly. People began taking pictures, which revealed the truth. The photos clearly show coyotes or dogs with severe sarcoptic mange. The bites burrow into the animal's skin, causing them to lose their hair and provoking an immune response that causes their skin to become thickened and ugly. Their faces swell and their canine teeth become more prominent, resembling fangs. Weakened by the infection, they may be more prone to attack livestock rather than the usual prey, such as rabbits.
That's interesting. So I wonder if there's some variation on that in other countries that is responsible. We were talking last week. We never got a chance to do this for Pop Culture Authority, but we were going to... Maybe we'll bring it back at some point. But we were talking about in the Rick Emerson Show for Pop Culture Authority doing this, the question of, because you always hear that thing about, well, you know, there's a real disease or a real ailment that's responsible for the legends of vampirism or lycanthropy or werewolves or whatever. And it's, you know, something that causes your eyes to become red-rimmed and your gums recede so it looks like you have fangs. And that's where the legend of the werewolf comes from. But I was wondering if that itself is actually just made up, if that's a load.
Yeah.
But so maybe in terms of humans, but if there was some equivalent to this, like in Europe for animals, that might have explained, that might have given rise to the legend of the werewolf. That's interesting. All right.
There you go. A group of researchers have genetically altered mice so they can smell light. In other words, their neurons...
Quit making things up. It's too early in the day and it's too early in the week. There's no way you can smell mother effing light.
Well, if you reroute the neurons that respond to light in the same way they would to odor, this allows them to study the brain's response without having to deal with the complications associated with smelling.
Are you sure they didn't just give... They didn't just dose them with orange sunshine or something?
It's
up here. Oh, man, I can hear that painting. It's so loud.
Well, this was detailed online on October 17th in the journal Nature Neuroscience.
Uh-huh.
The approach is called optogenetics. The method uses light to control actions within other specific cells and is broadly applicable. The noses of mice and humans are chock full of sensory neurons that respond to scent molecules that waft by. That odor information gets sent to the olfactory bulb, a part of the brain above the nasal cavities, where the sensory neurons meet with relay neurons. Well, if you look at the two cells receiving input from the same place, are they just passing it on in the same way, or is this something more to it, they were asking. A mouse has about 200,000 relay cells, with between 60 and 100 connected to each.
What would be the possible point of this? What is the practical application of being able to, and I quote now, smell light, end quote?
I don't know. They basically just...
Somebody needs their grant diminished. Somebody needs their money rerouted somewhere else. Jesus.
They just crossed the wiring in the mice's heads, and I don't know.
I think somebody's there's orange sunshine. It might not be the mice.
Nowhere in the story does it say, like...
What we're going to use it for.
What good it is to
doing this. That's not any good
this.
At all.
But anyway, they're making mice who can smell light.
Well, that's great. everywhere I look, I just see the Goathead Soup album in its entirety. It's awesome. All right. Is that the end of science?
It is.
Jesus Christ. There you go. There's a end of science on the march. Right here at Legion of News. That's, all right. At Cascadia.fm. Don't forget, coming up at 1 o'clock today, Yay Old Rick Emerson radio program. That's with two M's and an E at the end. That's coming up at RickEmerson.com. RickEmerson.com. We'll have Clown Watch, Taser Watch, also The Week in Geek with Mr. Aaron Duran, and we'll do the top five zombie songs. We'll also talk about Walking Dead from last night, Eastbound and Down, Dexter, all of that. I have to tell you, though, I have, like, Mad Men withdrawal kicking in. Because it's just sort of part of my Sunday ritual. And also, it was just so great this year. I mean, it's not like I'm bummed out as such, but I miss it already. I mean, and it just seems, I don't think they've announced when the next season's going to come back.
No, I've done that the last couple of weeks. Monday morning, get up, go to watch Mad Men in preparation for the show, and then I go, oh.
Just a big drag.
No Mad Men.
Hey, well, I will say this. I won't try to be overly clever with my segue. I will just say, I looked out this morning. It was one of those, like, tornadoes of leaves things. Because I was, you know, because Philo didn't want to go outside because he's just a namby-ass about everything. And I opened the door and he was just, you know, standing in the doorway just shivering like a tool. And I said, well, what? Just, you know, and I was all, hadn't had my caffeine, and you know, I'm standing there in my snowman boxer shorts in the doorway just like, come on, go outside so I can go inside and get some coffee. And I had the front, like, scoot him out the front door, and I thought maybe there was somebody out there, or a larger dog, or, you know, whatever, chupacabra maybe. And it was, he just stood there, he didn't want to go outside because of the wind. Because of the invisible thing that, you know, that he can't see but that he knows is there and that is, like, laying for him off in the weeds or whatever. So he just sat there being terrified of the wind. And I looked out and it was that wind that was making all of the leaves go in these sort of cyclone twister things out in the street, just covering everywhere. And I don't, it's not like the leaves just fell off the tree, but I swear to God, it was that, like, I went to bed last night and yeah, there was X amount of leaf cover, and I woke up this morning and every remaining leaf had just gone poof, onto the lawn. So I myself, I'm saying for me now, I have a landlord. You may not. You may not have a landlord. So it may be incumbent upon you to clean out your rain gutters or just, you know, get them off. The other thing is, you got to get the leaves off your front walkway or your porch or whatever, because especially if you got the pets, you know, you got cats or dogs. Here's the thing, is they're going to put some leavings in there and you're not going to realize it because the leaves are going to kind of blow around and you're going to be like, well, here I am off for another day of, oh, God. And you'll look down and you will just have gotten ankle deep in it because it's been masked by a bunch of leaves that have swirled around. So you got to get your walkway cleaned off. If you want to do it yourself, you call CJ's High Climbing Services. They can do that for you.
Now, walkways aren't up high.
Yeah, but here's the thing. CJ's High Climbing Services, it's not just services for climbing that are up high. It's actually a full-service maintenance company for your home, Dawn.
Huh.
Now, CJ's High Climbing is, of course, the website. I'm glad you asked about this. CJ'sHighClimbing.com is the website. They do specialize in things that are perhaps on your roof or in your gutters that are off the ground, but it's anything that is just messy, unpleasant, dangerous, or something you just don't have time for. So as we get further into autumn and then into winter, you want to get, whether it's the roof, whether it's the walkway, whether it's the lawn, whether it's just getting everything taken care of in the front of your house so you're not, it's not just covered with, you know, slick rotting, the piles of nature's detritus. You contact them at 503-228-9278, 503-228-9278, and they can usually give you a free estimate using Google Earth, so you can find out about what it's going to cost you without they even having to come out there. So it's 503-228-9278, cjshighclimbing.com. Here's Dawn Taylor.
A battleground woman reportedly running an unlicensed daycare facility was found passed out drunk on Friday. Officers were dispatched about 5:45 p.m. to the 500 block of East Main Street in Battleground, according to Sergeant Kim Armstrong. They found a woman unconscious in a minivan with two small children. The woman was arrested and the children placed under state protective custody.
Was the daycare service in the minivan? Sort of a mobile daycare center?
It could very well have been.
I mean, it is Battleground.
The state of this story.
Yeah.
Sheila K. Michelios, 45, who's actually of Yakult, Washington, was accused of two counts of reckless endangerment.
All right. Behold my shock that she's from Yakult, by the way.
Yakult is an unpleasant-sounding name for a town.
It really is. But doesn't it sound like the kind of place where Tonya Harding, you know, should live? I mean, it just sort of...
Is that where she lives now?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it just exudes that kind of vibe. Here's Dawn Taylor. Oh, I'm sorry. We're at the end of science.
Yeah,
that's
we've
my
been
fault.
Playing All the right. science music forever.
Here's Dawn Taylor at the Legion of News News Desk.
While investigators in the U.S. and abroad are unraveling the plot behind explosive devices shipped from Yemen with a U.S. destination, some people are counting their blessings. Lily Kornblum is co-president of a small progressive synagogue that serves gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender Jews. She says the congregation is grateful disaster was averted, but it's a bittersweet feeling.
All right, but first I have to say, before we even play the soundbite, Lily Kornblum, and it's a synagogue that serves what?
Gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender Jews.
I swear to God, don't you want to get a bunch of them and literally walk into a bar?
The sad is that nothing has changed after so many years, that no matter what, where, how, the Jewish community is still going to be targeted from someplace.
Kornblum says the congregation is relieved disaster was averted.
I gotta say gratitude is probably our biggest reaction right now because Obviously, between a local, national, and international authorities did such an incredible job at keeping us safe.
You know, I got this thing where even lacking any other sort of input, you know, lacking any sort of visual aesthetic or sense or whatever, I'm so fatally attracted to Jewish chicks, like, for reasons I can't really explain.
Hmm.
I mean, I don't even know what she looks like.
Is it because you were raised Catholic, so there's something just sort of naughty and forbidden about it?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not really... Maybe it's like being raised Catholic, so maybe it's like... Maybe I'm attracted to other people who feel strange and really unwarranted amounts of guilt over everything.
There you go.
See, because here's the thing. The thing about being Catholic is it's just, on the one hand, you're like effed no matter what. Because original sin, and you always fall short of the glory of God and so forth, and you know it's one cannot be saved through works alone, and you know all that the Catholic catechism stuff. So you're screwed, like, regardless. But then as a Catholic, you also got the deathbed recantation. So at the end, you can just, you know, I regret everything, and then, but then you're good, you're golden, as long as you sort of confess right at the last moment. And I don't believe our friends the Hebrews have that. But they just, you know, go through life just saddled with guilt over everything, just like Catholics do. And if you are constantly being told that you are guilty, you know, and that you are to feel shame and whatever, then in a weird way, it kind of frees you up just to do whatever you want. You know what I mean?
No.
Like, well, I'm just saying it. Like, if you're a Catholic and if you're gonna have all the guilt regardless,
oh, yeah,
why not just embrace it, man?
I can see that.
You know, it's like if they're gonna come repo the car anyway. I mean, you might as well just, you know, why put oil in? I mean, who cares? That's all I'm saying.
Okay. A man captured in a vacationing family's photograph as he stole their bag in front of a Wisconsin state capitol received a 5-day jail sentence and a nearly $500 fine. The Wisconsin State Journal reported Saturday that Glenn Lambright was given credit for time already served after pleading no contest to misdemeanor theft earlier this month. Vacationer John Myers of Bloomfield, New Jersey, had set the self-timer on his camera and hustled into the frame with his wife and two children. Meanwhile, a man grabbed a bag containing Myers' wallet and other items. After discovering the bag missing, Myers checked his camera and found a photo with the man picking up the bag in the background. Myers showed the photo to police, who recognized him and tracked him down.
That's fantastic. And not only was he sort of, he photobombed himself a little bit there, but also he was so well known to the cops, they just went, ah, it's John Myers.
Oh, that guy.
Somebody,
yeah.
Send somebody out of the Myers household. Pick him up.
All pervasive alcohol presents greater perils to the individual in society than crack cocaine and heroin.
Is all pervasive alcohol a new kind of alcohol?
It's Four Loko.
Oh, it's not.
It's
not like all temperature cheer.
I think it's, yes.
Okay. I thought it was like alcohol you drink and it just saturated every one of your cells instantly.
Oh, if only.
It's all pervasive alcohol from Anheuser-Busch.
Well, this is according to a study published today in the medical journal Lancet. British researchers looked at the effect of various substances on the human body, as well as their wider effects, including environmental, social, and economic impact. Heroin, crack cocaine, and crystal meth did the most damage to individuals, but alcohol came out on top when considering wider social effects.
Well done.
Other drugs such as LSD, marijuana, and ecstasy had a far less deleterious impact on individuals and society, the study found. The study's authors came to the trenchant conclusion that alcohol comes out on top because lots of people drink, and point out that the situation is unlikely to change.
Okay.
We cannot return to the days of prohibition, said Leslie King, an advisor to the European Monitoring Center for Drugs and one of the study's authors. Alcohol is too embedded in our culture, and it won't go away.
Speaking of which, I'm so far behind on Boardwalk Empire. I'm like 4 episodes back. Are you even watching Boardwalk Empire?
I am. I haven't seen this weekend's
We talked about this
yet.
Last week, so you are almost caught up.
I am almost caught up.
I am only on like episode 4 3.
You have,
I know, there's
such pleasures and misery ahead of you.
Look, I'm doing the best I can. All right, I'm working at it. It's just
what can you possibly have to do that's more important than watching television?
It's slow going. Well, no, it nothing. I mean, let's be clear about that. Nothing. The answer is nothing.
Plus, you got the iPhone, so you got like entertainment with you 24 hours a day.
Oh, I know. I was just getting caught up. I mean, it's not that this. I only have 2 eyes. Even if I were to watch 2 shows at once, I can only get 48 hours of programming watched a day. So I mean, it's. It's not easy, Don. There's a lot of things on out there. All right. Here's Don Taylor.
Let's do our entertainment news.
Here is your entertainment news for Monday.
The New York Post reports that New York Giants quarterback Eli Manning and his wife Abby are expecting their first child this spring. The couple wed at Cabo San Lucas in April 2008. They are going to be great parents, said Eli's brother Cooper to Us Magazine. Everyone is very excited. Director George Hickenlooper, whose films included Hearts of Darkness, A Filmmaker's Apocalypse, and The Man from Elysian Fields, has died of natural causes. Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper, who is running for governor in Colorado, released a statement regarding the passing of his cousin. "We are devastated. His passion for life, zeal for people, and unquenchable curiosity enriched everyone who had the fortune to know him."
Okay, so I saw this headline on, like, Saturday. Or it was like a, it was a tweet or whatever. It was, you know, it was like, it was Sean Levy or somebody sent a thing out. He said, like, we, you know, it looks like George Hickenlooper's dead. And I knew that name from somewhere. And I kept, like, rolling it around in my brain, going, like, where did I know? And but I forgot to look it up. So Hearts of Darkness.
Yeah.
The Coppola documentary.
He also directed Factory Girl and...
Oh, really?
The Mayor of Sunset Strip.
Rodney Bing thing?
Yeah, the Rodney Bingenheimer.
Yeah, okay,
thing.
Yeah, okay.
He was in Denver for the premiere of his upcoming film Casino Jack, which features Kevin Spacey as former lobbyist and con man Jack Abramoff. Actually, they're going to be dedicating the entire Denver Film Festival to him. Country star Randy Travis and his manager wife Elizabeth Lib Travis finalized their divorce on Friday. The couple were together for 19 years. A rep for the two released the following statement. "Elizabeth and Randy Travis have agreed to part ways. Elizabeth will remain Mr. Travis's personal manager. They do not intend to comment any further and ask for your respect for their privacy."
So now they can have a divorce of convenience.
Yes. Really? Are you saying something about Randy Travis?
Mean that he's a fine singer and songwriter? That he's one of country's foremost voices.
Okay.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
All right.
He also dresses very well.
Really?
You know what I'm saying.
Because you worked for a while at a country station. So
I've worked at many, many country stations. Yes, the things I've seen, Don.
Sounds like there might have been a little bit of talk about Randy Travis.
Here's the thing about Wynonna Judd. Everywhere she goes, here's the thing about Wynonna. She's a huge, huge woman, first of all. She's massive. She's like the size. She's like Haystacks Calhoun. She is giant. And so much so, by the way, just real quickly, I was at a country station some years ago. I will not identify the station, but I was at a country station some years ago, and Wynonna Judd was there. And I was coming around a corner, and she was coming down the hallway, and I turned the corner, and I went into the hallway, and I saw her coming toward me, and I actually stopped and gasped a little bit because I didn't know what was sort of rolling my way. It was like one of the Killer Tomatoes was just sort of, you know, coming down the hallway at me. But she's one of those huge, huge women who has at the end of a rhinestone leash a tiny dog. Tiny, 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 tiny dog. So there you go. That has nothing to do with...
And that dog, Randy Travis.
That dog was Randy Travis. Page two.
Grove Atlantic are developing a book based on a plot concept from last season's Mad Men. In the AMC show, Roger Sterling Jr. was working on an autobiography, and that project will form the basis of a fictional book that the publishers will release at Christmas.
Awesome.
The book, titled Sterling's Gold, Wit and Wisdom of an Ad Man.
Bastards.
Will include a preface from Mad Men creator Matt Weiner.
Sons of bitches. It's like they're finding every chink in my armor and using it to reach in and extract money from me.
Gun rights advocate and musician Ted Nugent took the stage with former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin Saturday to support West Virginia Senate candidate John Race.
Oh, hold on. Before we read the Ted Nugent thing, that's a good guarantees. Hold that thought for just 1 second. I'll tell you that the upcoming Ted Nugent soundbites are brought to you by Squires Electric. I know what the people like. SquiresElectric.com is the website, or 503-252-1609, 503-252-1609. So if you were getting the wiring in your house redone, if you're getting it checked, if you're moving into a new house, you're getting it expanded, you're moving into a new business, you're having maybe a house that was built 50 years ago, it brought up to code, or you're having a new wing put onto it, or you just want to make sure that you're going to have enough power to get... It's like how the other day...
If you have cat, scat, scratch, fever, I can't say it. Never mind. I was trying to come up with some way this was connected to Ted Nugent.
No, there's no... wait, hold on. Ted Nugent. Let's see.
If you need the wiring fixed on your motor, City Madman.
No, don't do that. They've got a stranglehold on... No. Intensities. Wang Dang. No, there's nothing that works there.
There's really nothing.
Well, in any event, I was just going to say, this is like the thing that happened to me. We had that the first cold snap a couple weeks ago, and I immediately panicked because the heater had been broken and then the heater was fixed. But then we got the cold snap, like, aha, it's cold, but now I've got a furnace. And I went to turn on the furnace, but then I became terrified that the furnace was actually low on furnace oil because, the, you know, the heater had, you know, the little fan had broken earlier in the year. And I'm like, oh, my God, what if I'm – what if now – it's like a Greek punishment. What if the furnace works but there's nothing to furn? And so then I ran out there. It was like 30 degrees or something, and I'm like in my – you know – I'm like pantless, just running out with the dipstick thing to make sure that it's there. So you don't want to have the same thing happen with your electrical wire where you get into the wintertime and you're afraid that you're going to turn on the heat or you're going to plug in like a, you know, space heater and a coffee pot at the same time, and then suddenly everything goes zzzt and just goes out. So you get your wiring checked if you have any doubts about that. They are fully licensed, bonded, insured electrical contractors. 503-252-1609 in Portland for 12 years. They are Squires Electric at squireselectric.com. All right. Ted Nugent.
He took the stage with Sarah Palin to support Senate candidate Guy. Nugent called Washington politics corrupt, power-abusing monsters who take Americans' paychecks and give them to idiots.
It's so simple, it's stupid. I was raised in 1948, I was born, and my dad taught me a real simple thing that still works perfectly today. You want food? Do your chores.
I know I'm not supposed to like Ted Nugent, but I do.
I love Ted Nugent. I hate the fact that he is a reactionary right-wing nutball, but I love Ted Nugent.
I mean, it's the thing. It's like, by all rights, I should disdain him, but it's just impossible. I just can't.
Nugent said changes are needed in Washington.
You know, America is still the greatest place in the world. The whole world sucks. America still sucks less. And West Virginia during the deer season doesn't suck at all.
Okay, see, that's why I like Ted Nugent right there.
Oh, God.
It's that, I mean, really, okay, here's the thing. I realize that what I'm about to say is fundamentally absurd. And I'm really honestly not, comparing myself to the Motor City Madman, to the terrible Ten Fingers of Doom. But tell me if this doesn't sound a little bit like somebody that you know, Don.
You know, America is still the greatest place in the world. The whole world sucks. America still sucks less.
So I'm just saying, if anybody wonders where I get my interesting worldview from, perhaps that there was a little bit more that leached into my brain off that box set when I was a child than I realized.
Well, Nugent says he'd rather be hunting for white-tailed deer, but there's bigger fish to fry in Washington.
Power-abusing monsters that have weaseled their way into our lives and that control our paychecks and decide to take money from the people who work so hard and give it to idiots.
I mean...
And everything he says is true.
There's really no way to disagree with that.
Except the fact that he's at a rally standing next to Sarah Palin.
Yeah, but you know, I've had to get past that sort of a thing because the number of musicians, especially, I guess with actors, it doesn't really bother me all that much. But with musicians, it used to bother me that it was always the guys that I was really, really, really a fan of. Like Alice Cooper is. I'm a huge Alice Cooper fan, and he's. You know, he was born again a few years ago, and so we ever had to put up with a few years of him talking about Jesus all the time. And, and now it's like he's become one of these, you know, guys that is always out stumping for Republicans. And, you know, so I just had to create like a firewall in my head. I had to partition the drive of my brain. Another guy who does that. So there's Alice Cooper does it. Ted Nugent does it. And then who was I? The other guy I was going to say. It wasn't Gene Simmons. It was somebody less obvious than that. That's escaping me now.
Yeah. For me, recently it was Adam Baldwin. That Adam Baldwin is not only like a super right wing crank, but he has now taken upon himself to write like essays online about politics. And it's like,
is Adam Baldwin an intelligent man?
No,
he's a Baldwin, so it's like 601 and pick.
No, he's not a Baldwin. He's not related.
Oh,
to
this
the
is
Baldwins.
Jane Firefly.
Yeah,
Jane.
Firefly Jane.
We've had this thing before, and I kept saying. Of the Baldwins, and you said, no, from Firefly, and I said, Jane.
Yeah,
okay.
Jane.
I always do that.
And he's just, yeah. And
well, but doesn't that, I mean, come on.
And it just,
does that surprise you that that guy is?
You know, you have this.
Vera and I are all for Sarah Palin.
You have this thing, though, when you really, really like someone, and then something just really insane comes out of their mouth, and you go, really?
Yeah.
Really?
I don't know. See, but again, I guess I look at that guy, and I just figured that was a little bit of. That was a little bit of method acting on his part, you know. He's sort of Hank Williams Jr., who I really do unabashedly like. He's another guy. I think he's actually shown up at three or four Sarah Palin rallies over the last few years, and I just. But, you know, here's another example of that, but it's sort of the opposite. You know, Ron Silver, who just, I think, passed away maybe last year. So, you know, Ron Silver was a real flame-throwing right-wing Republican.
Yeah, I know.
But the best part is on the West Wing, they had him playing a Democratic campaign strategist. And I think Sorkin just liked to screw with him by giving him these long, you know, flowery, flowing monologues about the evils of conservatism and how liberals were the only right-thinking people on planet Earth. So,
but Ron Silver, such a genius, though he made it
he
work.
He made it
you
work.
You would never know.
You know, a great late uncelebrated, much lamented by me TV series was that show Skin that he did.
Yeah,
that was a great show.
Really
I wish
was.
That show had stuck around. All right, let's do one more brief one if you have it, then we'll wrap it up for today.
I do. This is not entertainment related, so let's make the music
go
away.
No, I'm sorry. There's your entertainment news for Monday right here at Legion.
Actually, we don't have time for anything else. It is the end of the show.
Really? Do I have to adjust the clock on the wall?
You do. The clock on the wall is actually a minute slow.
I paid $7.99 for that clock. All right. Yep. This has been Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. The Rick Emerson Show comes up next at rickemerson.com, featuring a clown watch, taser watch, also the Week in Geek, top five zombie songs, and so forth. We come to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network. At the news desk, it is Don Taylor, advanced technology and magic provided by Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Agler, chief of staff Cheryl Kanakoa, and so forth. We will see you again tomorrow at noon. This has been Legion of News on Cascadia.fm. Thank you for listening. We'll see you at 12 p.m. Tuesday. Have a pleasant day, won't you?